Gentlemen, this is Keith Coogan. Welcome to The Call Sheet live from downtown Los Angeles at skidrowstudios.com. The number to call in is 800-893-9562. That's 800-893-9562. I put my lithium voice on. Girls, what are you doing out there? They're going to go drink. Okay. No. And smoke.
Drink and smoke, yeah.
What? Cigarettes? Illegal cigarettes? Ooh, that sounds fun. There's all these hotties here at Skid Row Studios, and they're leaving because we're going to start talking. And they're like, oh, yeah, guys talking. How fun is that? But you tuned in. Thank you. Listening audience, you people who support us, you people who tell us we're doing something that someone even fucking gives a rat's ass shit about. 97% of media is owned by Rupert Murdoch, Fox News, Paramount.
Does he own the show?
No. This is the 3%. We're in the 3%. And by the way, internet radio is conquering terrestrial radio. We're a part of it here at Skid Row Studios. We're joined here tonight by Scotty Schwartz.
Hello, everybody.
He had a bone to pick. And as always, my co-host, Gabe Romero.
Hey.
You're a sexy man.
That's what I do.
He's manning the laptop so that we can hear the latest news on. Now, First of all, look up the Lindsay Lohan thing on TMZ and find the gypsy Roma card-reading girl that was hit by her that was represented by Gloria Allred.
Already?
Find her. I want her number. No, she's hot as hell. Lindsay
but
is
that's
a
sort
skag.
Of beside the point. The hot point is like, you know, what happened at like 5 o'clock?
I don't know. Lindsay was threatened. First it was get out of my space. Then it was get away from my man. Then it was the gypsy goes, first she tried to read her. She goes, can I do a reading with her? Then it broke down, and then a fight over a man, then a fight over a purse. Finally, they were like, you sucked in Dick and Liz. And at that point, Lindsay socked her in the face and was arrested at 4 a.m., quote, sloppy drunk in a bar, Upper East Side, or was it Village? You see her, the blonde?
Yeah,
but no. Okay, you find her to be that attractive?
She's a freak, man. She's a freak.
Well, a freak is one thing, you know. Beautiful and gorgeous and all those things you just said.
Yeah,
well.
No.
Oh, wow.
I think
rather
she's
than
like
Lindsay, I would
looking,
take this.
She's a hard-looking Paris Hilton. Look at her face.
Oh, she will read you. Mm-hmm. Paris Hilton did her time. She's
going to do more time, as a matter of fact.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sure of it.
Well, she's been pretty good. She's been behaving. Lindsay has been hitting people, hit and run, socking people out. She's on probation anyway.
Oh, yeah,
probably
going
to get revoked.
Bye-bye.
She needs to do some jail time, and then she'll be nice and
she
polite.
Does, because then she'll realize what being a real human being is all about.
She has no clue.
She's a star.
But the real thing is...
She's the female version of Corey Feldman. She's a star.
Yeah, but you have to take the number of dollars, the number of influence that the people around her, her mom, Michael Lohan, are trying to get a hold of. And that exhibition of control that they try to, no, you got to do this and this and you can't do this. So she's going to get out of control. Her control, I'll show you. I'll go to Chateau Marmont. I'll run up a $46,000 bill. I'll show you. I'll be in control.
Yeah, but that's just stupid.
No, that's a 23-year-old.
Okay. Agreed.
Philosophy major. No, you got to go into business. No, I'm going to save the plants and the trees. I'm going to be eco. I'm going to be a liberal arts. Useless.
I think she should come on the show with you. 1 hour with us, she'll never do this
shit
ever
again. We're
going
to get Red Muff in here at one point. Freckle chest, as I call her. Ooh, I just love them. Motorboat those. Do you think they're like pointy? Or they're like full? Like good
who?
Full C cup? Lindsay.
You didn't check out the Playboy?
Is it?
She did. Yeah, she did a spread in Playboy.
I mean, they're there.
Not
they're
that
nice.
Fantastic.
Do you have the hard copy, Gabe?
No.
Okay.
They're online. You can look at them anywhere. I'm not
wild about Lindsay.
Hot dressed up as Elizabeth Taylor, I have to admit. That was kind of cool.
Elizabeth Taylor was hot when she was 16 to 40, maybe 42.
Then they at one point in the Liz and Dick, they say, oh, yeah, you're really heavy. And the critics are saying you're heavy. They cut to Lindsay, and there's no attempt to try to make her look heavy.
No.
It's like, oh, wow. Then the old, they're like, this looks like, this is disastrous. This
well, it's a TV like a, budget.
Yeah.
TV movie budget.
I know. But she was saying to the judge, like, no, my career. I have to be out and do this because serious art projects.
Yes.
Liz and Dick, really? If that's a serious art project, man, I'm fucking Leo DiCaprio.
Yes. There was Liz and Dick. Shogun was like right there. Serious television.
But Scotty, you came here with a purpose.
Oh, come on. I got to, you know, we got to just go off on Angus. I mean, there's no question. I mean, this is just absolute, utter stupidity and insanity that the people of the media will eat this up, that an 18-year-old can say and speak what he is and people are listening to him. You know, oh, I found the Lord now and my church says I shouldn't and this is garbage and blah. Dude, you're making $350 a week. $350,000. Shut the fuck up. Shut up and do your show.
10 times what Kirk Cameron made on Growing Pains a week.
I put this on my Facebook and I told you about it. I said, I actually put it on my Facebook. I said, Angus, if you're so damn upset, leave the show. Keith Coogan would love to have your job and your check.
I'll be a half man. That's fine.
Absolutely.
Me and John Cryer go way back.
I'm sure we'd love to work with John. And the check goes right along with it. Thank you very much.
Now, I have to admit, before the whole brouhaha with Charlie Sheen and everything like that, I was second, third, fourth season. I don't even know what season they're on. I tuned in to Two and a Half Men.
Mm-hmm.
It was the most pablum you could imagine, but it was the funniest. It was the most well-executed. It was like the top of inane, like Full House on steroids. It was
okay.
Very well done. I enjoyed it for what it was.
Mm-hmm. It's a TV show.
Yeah.
They're not rewriting the Bible. They're not rewriting the Quran or the Torah. It's a TV show.
Why? Yeah, what if they did that? What if networks were like, tonight, 8 p.m., Thursday night, Bible hour?
Listen, I'm sure there are people that will watch it too. You know, I'm surprised Kirk hasn't started a show yet on network television. I'm sure they'd love to have him on again.
Where's my buddy Pat? I have this great friend who works on air bases, and I'm the most lefty, liberal, bleeding heart guy you can imagine. He's the most righty, tighty guy you can imagine. We get along great.
Mm-hmm.
Corey is a dear friend of both of us, and he took care of Corey, and I took care of Corey, and he's a good guy. And Pat, if you're out there, call in 800-893-9562. I signed morals clauses with Disney.
Mm-hmm.
All contracts.
I flunked that. You move on. Move on from there.
You're like, I'm banging a stripper.
Oh, no, in the porn old star. Days.
Porn star stripper. What was she in New York? With your dad, I'm not going to school. Fuck that.
No, it was.
That was the moment of.
That was
the moment of your adultness, man. That was
dude,
you.
Come on, of
emancipated
course.
Emancipated yourself.
You know, I mean, she's left us. She's gone. I mean, you know, she died at 33. So it's like, you know, do you want to like, you know, just stand over the grave? No, I don't want to do that. You know, but her dad was very famous and she was very rich. But that was beside the point. I was like 16 years old. Yeah, it was great. Absolutely.
I had monogamous relationships since I was 19. It was awful. 4 years here, 10 years there, 15 years there, whatever.
You know what?
One girl, no cheating.
I had different relationships every which way, monogamous, not monogamous, swinger relationships, whatever. You know what? I'm at the age now where I think I may have found somebody. I'm not going to mention her name, but she's an absolute sweetheart, and I'm just seeing where it
you.
Goes.
Good for you.
Let's see where it goes.
Yeah.
You look smitten.
I am.
You look happy.
We'll see what happens.
Okay. Nice.
I'm not going to, you know, blast her out there because, you know.
What if I put you on the spot, Scotty?
Put me on the spot for what?
For your business. What you do. You take memorabilia and sports and movie and stuff. And you find the, what's the chain of command thing, the Providence? you get the providence and
certificates of authenticity.
You can be like,
stuff
yes,
like that?
I saw that William Shatner signed this and I can authorize that this.
Well, yeah, I do that stuff for the trading card companies and baseball companies. I go and I get celebrity autographs for trading cards and other items as well. But when I'm there doing a signing with whomever it is, I take a picture of them. And normally I have to sign a letter that states I was a witness to and blah, blah, in case anybody ever challenges the authenticity.
Snap. There they are signing the shirts. Snap.
Yeah. We actually, I've had one celebrity that would not take a photo. Ooh. Kate Beckinsale.
Really?
Would not take a photo.
Wow.
We were paying three figures per autograph, not like $10 or $50. It was three figures an autograph. She did 200 autographs. It took 17 minutes, maybe 15 minutes.
Top on my list.
She would not take a picture for authenticity.
Hot.
Oh, she was extremely hot, but she would not take a picture for authenticity.
What was her problem? Did she give a reason
or the value or no?
No, it would not have affected the value at all because it's basically just for archival purposes.
Was she looking haggard that day or was she looking beautiful?
Yeah, fine. But just archival purposes. That's all we have to take the picture for. Let's say you pull one of her autographed items and you go, I don't think this is real. And you could take us to court. Well, if we have the picture, we show the judge that here, judge, here's her signing this item. Yep, okay, dismissed, whatever. You don't have that. You actually have to bring her to court. She actually has to come to court and say, yes, I signed this. Oh, but she wouldn't take the picture. WME? They drove me bananas. No, she's not taking pictures. No, she's not taking pictures. I'm like, you guys are morons.
Really?
Yeah. Anybody
else?
Are
they getting a cut of that?
Of course, they're getting their 10%.
Why wouldn't they
doing nothing?
Take a picture? That's ridiculous.
It was stupid.
Ups the value.
Yeah.
I have something for you.
Really? I get excited when he says that.
I have an item. One item. I have lots of items. But I have one item that I want to know, because you do, like, with your place and eBay, and you do all sorts. You're mm-hmm. very savvy about that, and auctions and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I have some fans of a film I did called Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead.
Yes.
And they come up to me, dishes are done, and
you have broken dishes.
Dude, I joined Culinary Academy because of you, man. I have Kenny's jeans.
Kenny's jeans? The ripped ones?
Yeah.
What's the thing of?
I have the ripped jeans from the movie, worn by Keith Coogan in the film. I could sign them on the ass.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. What do you think? If I consign that to you.
I don't know. It's an interesting
Would you take
item.
That as an item?
Well, would yeah,
you take
I would,
a unique,
but I,
frame it and pin it and make it look cool?
Yeah.
And the crotch is ripped out. The back, it's, I mean, when we could take a still from the movie and show this is, these are the jeans.
Well, no, they're authentic because they come from you.
Yeah, I could be. I ripped this off from the last day of shooting.
Oh, God.
No, I said, can I have these? Please.
Well, no, you say, can I have these? You should have taken, like, the shirt and the jacket, too. Because the leather jacket would
be
cool.
And the wig. That's smart. Take the wig.
Oh, the wig is back at Warner Brothers in a vault.
It's been used 40 times since
then. When I'm doing AM Los Angeles, and they pulled the wig out of nowhere. It showed up on the set of AMLA. Because I was, like, doing Kenny in character in a cooking thing with Steve Edwards. And there's the wig again. It was the backup. We had like one main one that was like the good one in the backup if like shit happened. And those are $3,000 a piece wigs. They're in Warner Brothers lockup. But the jeans, I got them. I got Kenny's jeans. What do you think a fan? A couple thousand people that were like, that I talked to, that are like, that's their favorite movie. They say that dishes are done every time they wash dishes.
Maybe $500,000 at the most, I would think. At the most.
That's high, but that's good to know. But do you think that's a valid item? Or are you looking for photos or signatures or props?
You look for props. You almost look for anything. It just depends on the fan base. Like, I'll give you an instance. The pants. Good instance.
Like Elvis's pants.
No, I actually had Michael Beck's pants and shoes from The Warriors. The movie from 1979. Okay, so I had his leather pants and the shoes, but they were really weird, whatever. And they sold for $1,500.
Wow.
Now, the vest that he had sold for like 10 grand.
Wow.
Because it had the Warriors on the back of it. And that sold for like 10 grand.
Right.
But the pants sold for, and the shoes for $1,500.
Interesting.
But that's got a big cult following to it.
Yeah.
And those people are now in their 40s, 50s. They have the money. So I don't know if Don't tell mom the babysitter's dead. Your pants from that, your fan base has the money to spend on your pants or
$135.72 maybe. Yeah. No. Maybe there's a fan out there that likes Kenny's jeans. They're like, dude, I could actually have the jeans worn in the movie?
Yeah.
In a Warner Brothers release?
Well, the fun part is February 1st and 2nd in Los Angeles at the Lowe's Hotel is my first celebrity autograph show.
I smell a plug coming.
Absolutely.
You've been involved in lots. And
I've been involved in a lot of shows.
People and stuff. But this is your show?
This is my show. I'm promoting my first show. The website should be up the next 48 to 72 hours. LACelebrityShow.com. And for the listeners out there, Keith will be one of the guests that'll come and sign autographs. But if you have any babysitter stuff, you know, because Christina should be there. I'm going to see her this week. So I'm doing like a Married with Children thing, and then Christina, and then you. It's like, okay, fine. Oh, it's awesome. Kind of the cross, whatever. Awesome. So that should be fun.
I think Dave Faustino should fire up the whiskey again and get the Thursday nights going again. Whiskey a go go. That was good times.
Yeah. Black I just moved people. So damn far away from
White
me.
That'll be Mexican people, Asian people, all in one room listening to rock and hip hop and punk and thrash and all sorts of stuff. That he did something kind of unique.
Yeah, it was fun. You know, so. So what's going on, Gabe? You're being quiet over there.
Nothing, man.
He's a hell of a guy, isn't he?
Apart from working, and you work like, if you're really rocking, you work like 9 months out of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't have like 3 months off to jack off. You spend it.
I don't have 30 seconds to do
clubs
that.
Clubs or, you know, Alfie Soda Pop or places they serve. You could both go to the Alfie Soda Pop as an underage kid, but also get into the Viper Room.
But there was no booze at Alfie Soda Pop. That's
no,
why.
No, but I'm saying you could also get into the other clubs. With the films and stuff, it was like...
They were all fans.
But you could get in. You could be underage.
Oh, wait. You're bringing me back to Angus again for 1 second.
Okay. Oh, no, Angus.
They're talking about how Angus is now dating a fan. And my response is, well, who the fuck else is he going to date? He doesn't go any... He can't really go anywhere yet. He's not 21, so he can't go to bars. He can't go hang out. He's on a set however many hours in this... Who else are you going to meet but a fan?
Well, not just that, but like statistically speaking, it's one of the highest rated television shows in the country. You talk to people and you say, you know, what's your favorite sitcom or what's your favorite comedy? You know, most of them are going to say 2 and a Half Men. So just statistically speaking, the likelihood he's dating a fan is high.
Even if she wasn't a regular watcher, like me. I'll give you an instance, okay? Me. I'm not a regular watcher of 2 and a Half Men. I don't like Austin Kutcher on the show as much as I enjoy Charlie because I, you know, have enjoyed Charlie's work for many, many years. But now if I saw Angus, I'm a fan. I'm not going to date him, but my point is that I'm a fan of
I don't know.
His.
I think he grew up with the show. I think, you know.
Yeah.
Gabe, have you watched 2 and a Half Men through the years?
I have. I have a couple of friends who write on the show.
Do you feel that Angus grew with the show? He grew up with it and he got better? And better his timing got, but he was always funny.
I don't know. Like, I think that it was, in his case specifically, I think he was definitely much better as a kid. He was just much funnier as a kid.
Are your friend writers totally fucking hurt by what he said? It's trash.
I haven't talked to them about it. And part of it is because
Gabe's taking the above the line approach tonight.
No. It's just, you know what, for me, that's, and granted, I haven't worked on a show that size yet, but, you know, there isn't a family aspect to it. Like, that's their house. And I'm not going to go, and because I don't know Angus, and because I don't know, you know, I don't know what's going on in their house, I'm not going to go and what?
It doesn't make any difference. You're so politically correct. My asshole is leaking, dude. You're killing me. Listen, here is the way that it is. You are an actor on a job. When you're on a TV series, that is a family. There is no question. I've known plenty of child stars growing up that were on series. That's their family. That's their extended family.
Yeah.
Okay. While you're on that show, I don't give a shit what they do. If they make you put on a fucking clown suit every day of the week, it doesn't matter. You don't bad talk the people on your show.
I absolutely agree with that.
You don't bad talk your show because who are you bad talking? the writers, the producers, the director. Even if you don't call them out, so to speak, my show is shit. Please don't watch my show. I mean, it's filth.
Definitely,
it's garbage.
You don't do that. You don't do that to your friends. You don't do that to your family. You don't do that to your job. You know, you're a professional. It's your job to do
exactly
to do the show.
Now, in this case, it's sort of the weirdest position that anybody could be in. Because if he really, truly feels that way.
He just re-signed a contract.
Of course. He just re-signed in March or whatever it was. It's hysteric. Or, you know, this past year, whatever.
And the guy that he did it with was even disowned by the church that the guy said he's with. They were like, no, he's no longer. He's got, like, weird, allegedly fraud things and stuff like that going on. And
listen, we don't know what kind of like brainwashing Svengali is trying to.
Found this guy, this kid. And I fell for making love work. And this was in the 80s, early 90s kind of a thing. Laura DeAngelis. And it was called Making Love Work. It was this whole, dude, it was fucking mind programming. It was this love and and feel and like how to get in touch with your heart and little heart pins and stuff like that. It's fucking cult. It was you pay money to have people tell you how to eat, walk, talk, think, and treat your family. And you have role playing. You sit across and the men are like, you're all fucking cunts. And the women are like, you're all fucking dicks. And then you sit around in the thing and say, like, you know, how you're harmed and the universe hates you in this like group crying session with teddy bears. It was the most cultish thing I ever did. I booked a bunch of work right after it. It's funny because I was like, all clear. Hey, I'm clear.
That's it.
But it was a total cult. Her husband, Vern, ran the thing with the macrobiotics and I'm like eating Taco Bell at break and they're eating like macrobiotics. I'm like, I don't think I'm going to get on board with your little macrobiotics thing. He's like, no, your tendons stretch more. It was this total like immersion thing and I fell for it. I did one. I did another one. I did like the second deep advanced. And I even lied. And like a girlfriend of mine that I grew up with, we said we were couples for the discount. It was awful. And they like saw right through it instantly because it's therapy. They know what's going on. But I felt, you know, at the end, I felt very kind of abused, even like as a regular person, really abused as anyone in the industry.
Imagine if you had money and they sucked that out of you too.
And then went on YouTube and said, hey, say that thing I told you. Yeah, I'm on a show and it's just tripe and don't watch it. It's garbage. You know what? I say that all the time. Mainstream media, fucking TV, movies, most of it, tripe. Brainwashing, buy a car, buy some beer, go see a movie. It's advertising, it's commerce. There's a range. You have the commercial, the most commercial thing you can. Half hour sitcom, 23 minutes, a lot of commercials, product placement.
Mm-hmm.
Hour, 48 minutes, 43 minutes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Product. Oh, now you got the hour long, you know, you got the movie of the week. And then the feature, there's still product placement and Pepsi and shit. And then theater. It's just promoting itself. It's story. It's idea. Everything's Greek. There's no product placement. There's no sponsor. There's no, they're drinking a Pepsi. It's about the characters. So from a half hour commercial to theater, you have the range of like perversion and corruption of it. He's on a half hour sitcom right next to a commercial.
Oh, listen, we're not saying that he's. I'm not saying he's completely on or off base.
With the devil, you cannot step outside that line.
Exactly.
And
while you're doing it,
it's tripe, now, it's candy, it's fucking sugar for your brain.
Right. Let's say come next February,
Gabe is writhing
he's
in his
off
chair.
The show. But let's say he's off the show.
No, I'm not.
If he's off the show next season, the day after he stops shooting,
he's
and
off
if
the
he
show
wants
in a
to
week.
Say,
if I know Chuck Lorre, he's going to get written off to some snowboarding accident, a surfing accident.
Still got
to
pay him 22 weeks,
oh, my
weeks,
God,
baby.
Angus T.
Got to pay
He'll
him his 22
weeks.
He'll
be phoning it in Chrissy style from fucking Three's Company.
That's fine. You get done with the show, they're not sending you a check for shooting. You can say whatever you want about it. You know what? It wasn't the best thing I ever did. Maybe it wasn't the best choice. You can say whatever you want to say. The only difference it seems to be with him than most people is that I first thought that he was committing career suicide. That was my first thought, that nobody would ever hire him again, not even realizing who would step up to the plate.
I didn't know he'd show up to work on Monday.
He showed up to work on Monday.
And Tuesday was a retract.
Tuesday was apology day after
what was
they
that Monday like
his
for him?
Ass.
For Angus, it was like, dude, are you fucking serious? Was he cold-shouldered? Did they write him out?
Oh, no.
Did they write something where he had to say something that was close to
it's read-through
like
on Monday?
Like the girl from Modern Family. she had a bit in the very next week after the whole thing gone down. She had to deal with like a stage mom on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Like yeah. noting, I know what's going on right now. I'm acknowledging it. The show's acknowledging it. Do you think 2.5 Men will do that?
They ate him a new behind. They tore him a new asshole like oh. there's no tomorrow. Now, even Austin Kutcher is new to the show. He's not new to television. He's done many shows. Very experienced. You don't think he pulled that kid aside and said, dude, are you out of your fucking mind, bro? What are you thinking? I'm sure that, and I'm sure John Cryer was very politically correct about it.
Like, well, he's the anchor of the show. He's the only one exactly. left for the original, really. Like,
Angus, I think you should talk to your people. Maybe you should have chose your words better. That's like what John Cryer would say. Chuck Lorre probably let him have it. Like, are you out of your mind? I mean, that was probably the overall feeling. But at the end of the day, what's going to end up happening is he's going to end up off the show. So he'll end up basically unemployed for about 8 minutes because Charlie Sheen has already said, Angus, come on over to my show and whatever. And he owns a big part of the show.
Really?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Charlie said, come on over.
Anger Management, yeah.
He said, come on over to our
how's
show.
How's that doing?
Who cares? How's it doing? They got the ratings so that he had a 10-show guarantee, but right. if he hit certain rating points.
He gets 100 shows.
Yeah,
he's the higher the
and they
ratings,
hired him, and they said, yes, you get the 100 shows. And yeah, then the ratings ran, pew.
No, he's still there. That means he's good. But the 100 shows, that's over 5 years. I've watched a couple of shows. It's okay. He's funny. He's Charlie. But he's giving the kid another show. I'll give you another job. Come on over here. Don't worry about it. Fuck them. That's
there
Charlie.
There are alliances and allegiances and producers and networks.
Well, and if there's anyone who knows what it's like to stick your foot in your mouth, yes. it's Charlie.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, here's a guy. I mean, what do you mean, did he?
Because yeah. he was the one that proved you could stand up to the producers and still figure out a way to squirrel a tour and another
yeah,
series.
But you know what?
He got the another first, series, a $100 first... million dollar paycheck. Did no, he really even... fucking stick his foot in the
yeah,
mouth?
Yeah, I think
no,
he did.
He
I
was
he
the
did
exact because... star at the exact time that could stand up to the producer of Chuck Lorre's potency. And it was a fight of the of volcanic primordial forces.
But you know what? This is a guy who, yeah, he went out on tour, but you ask anyone who saw the tour, after the first 10 minutes of the first one, people are like, this is awful. And you know, he has even come out and said, now, you know what? I was wrong to have said the things about Chuck that I said, and they provided me with this incredible opportunity with 2.5, you know, a space where I could really do something different than I had ever done before. And he's very apologetic, very gracious now. And I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, the guy's been doing it for 30 years.
Stop right in the middle of that sentence. This has to do with being politically correct in this day and age. If you think Carol O'Connor would have gotten into a fight with his producer and then 2 days later said, you know, I thought about it and I really go back. Bullshit. We're now in the world of politically correctness. This is what we have to be like. You say something, somebody screams at you, you have to apologize.
No, I don't think that's it. I think
even Charlie.
Yeah, there's definitely an instance of that. But there is also a, you know what? I was fueled by cocaine and booze and I said some things that were wrong and I'm sorry. You don't have to, since when does realizing that you'd made a mistake mean you have to be politically correct, mean you have to be weak? You know, there is to me something.
Are you standing up for Charlie?
I am. I'm standing up for Charlie Sheen because here's a guy who I saw spiral, as did the rest of the world, saw spiral wildly out of control.
Magnificent, flaming, and gorgeous, fucking watchable spiral. It was so fascinating. It was the first time I'd seen someone really take
Charlie?
On the powers
have you met
that could be.
Keith, have you met Charlie?
I grew up in Malibu.
Oh, thank you. Have you met Charlie?
No.
Okay, I have met Charlie. There's one thing I can tell you about him. The first thing out of his mouth is the most honest thing out of his mouth. He says it the way it is. Yes, no, maybe so. He doesn't like you, go fuck yourself. He likes you, hey, how you doing, man? That's him. He says things, yes, when he was out of his mind and all that. He probably said some stuff he probably shouldn't have said. But,
yeah, but
realistically, they were probably
very verbally.
Most likely,
he said it very, like, learned. He had some deep, like,
oh yeah,
past of literature to quote upon. I quoted his stories. I did monologues based on his rants. And he had a command of the language that was pretty impressive. He really has a deep intellect. Mm-hmm. He does.
He's an incredibly smart guy.
Far more than most people know and think, because he's the guy from Major League, or the guy from this, or the guy from Wall Street. And everybody's
the guy from Breakfast Club or Ferris Bueller's Day Off who pinned his lines on his jeans to me. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, Brando also needed cue cards up and around the set. And I'm like, now to me, I get a call sheet. I need to know my lines, where am I going to stand, what am I going to wear. I need to feel prepared. But that thing of like, pin your lines on your jeans? I don't know. That pure essence of I'm just going to be the character and, oh, there's lines?
Mm-hmm.
Put them somewhere because I don't know what they are. I didn't read it. That's ballsy. That's like, that's deep, but that's watchable. And that sells tickets.
Because none of us knew that they were on his jeans at the time. Now you look back and you see him, you're like, holy shit. But he's awesome. But, you know, we're getting way off because we're just going whatever. But the kid has his right to think the way he wants to think. However, at 18 years old, he has no idea what it's like to have a real job or be unemployed. He's an actor. That's make-believe. People have been kissing his ass ever since he could say hello. He's never had to have a real job, pay bills, take care of himself, do nothing. You know, I have a friend of mine out there, you know, she works several jobs. She works her ass off. And nobody kisses her ass. It's like, and I feel for her. But yet, you know, this kid's making 90,000% more than she is a week. And he's pissing all over the people that are paying him.
He's been working since he was 6 years old.
Oh.
His first job was in 99, born in 93, a movie called Simpatico. Mm. Since he was 6 years old.
Now, where this is, guy? Wait. Where is, no, go back down. Where is he in C-Spot Run? Where is he credited? Is he in like the top four or five?
Yeah, he's number five.
He's the fifth one. Uh-huh. And then he's in The Rookie with Dennis Quaid.
Right.
And then I think like a year later is when he got the show.
He did ER before he did The Rookie. And then he started on Two and a Half Men in 2003 when he was 10 years old.
The agents kill you. They're like, we're going to get you a series. We're going to get you a series.
Mm-hmm.
And you might like watercolors. And they're saying, no, you're going to paint in oils. You're going to paint in oils. And you like, dude, I'm comfortable in watercolors. I paint in watercolors. I want features. Or I want to do movies of the week. Or I want to do this.
But at 10 years
agent,
old, he didn't have
they
that.
They want the series because the fucking money week to week.
Of course.
Week. 5, 7 years of $150,000. What was he making before the $350,000 contract?
175. I think they almost doubled it.
Oh, and what, 22 shows a season?
22 episodes.
Okay.
That's rough.
So let's see, he keeps 20% of it after everything and the taxes and the spending and the agents and managers and thing. Okay. So 22 million something.
Oh, it's
he's
over.
He's got a couple hundred thousand cash, at least a million cash sitting around. And he's still got contract to
wait,
play
you
out.
Mean right now?
Yeah.
Let's think that again. It's already in syndication. Based
so he
on
gets another 100 grand a year just
so he's
for
making 150 to 200 grand plus at least a year now, previous to this contract. Now with this contract, when those shows go to syndication and they start showing, it's based on what your salary was.
If you got a million in the bank, it's called fuck you money.
No, he's probably
say,
got
fuck you to the deal, fuck you to this contract, fuck you to the billing and the trailer and then this and then that and the other cast.
I'd say he's probably got $3 to $5 million in the bank easily already. And then now it's just.
So this Svengali, this guy that came on to him and fucking said, hey, come here, YouTube video, you got to be careful. If you're not willing to see, if you're not willing to be and do how you are and have it filmed and shot and pictures and snapped and video, right now we're streaming. You don't even know, Scotty, but we're streaming. You stream. You say, hey, wave to the camera. If you're not willing to do that 100% of the time, don't fucking do it.
Yeah, absolutely. But now he is where he is.
He went on YouTube.
And it is what it is.
This thing, and I cannot wait to see what happens in the next few weeks on the show and read about it and see if he's written off. Is he going to challenge him? He's going to be like, you know what? I hate you guys. You take care of me. And he's going to cry out to John Cryer and Ashton Kutcher. Will his character on the show start being a bitch that doesn't like his Masters?
No, he's supposed to be going to school. He's going to supposed to be going off to school or something.
Oh, he's
like
going
that.
Off to fucking Alaska.
Or whatever it is, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's going.
They still got to pay him for 22 episodes. Don't make any difference.
Do they?
That's guaranteed. That's, oh, sure. Dude, that's guaranteed
I'm sorry.
Money.
When I read my Disney's moral clause, you will not denigrate. You will not embarrass.
Yeah, there's got to be a loophole. I can't imagine Warner Brothers. I can't imagine Chuck Lorre.
No, I'm saying actually, he violated the Patriot Act. You cannot block or cause to block commerce. You can't stand in front of a driveway and stop people from driving out Anheuser-Busch beer from the plant. It's a violation of the Patriot Act. They wrote it into it. You cannot block commerce.
But he's not blocking it commerce. All he's
saying, don't watch the show.
Yeah, he's not actively preventing people from watching the show.
100,000 people don't tune in. Put him at $1 a person, Facebook style, which is what we're about worth. A day, we're worth about $1 to Facebook. Mm-hmm. Just doing nothing. He's costing the show a couple of viewers, a couple of advertisers. Now, all of a sudden, Christian groups that hire certain products and stuff like that, do they want to be on the show or not? They make the call. I'm sure their sponsors being pulled. Others coming in. They're like, we want to be on the show more. Maybe someone's leaving. It's all about the fucking money. And the money comes from
the sponsors.
By the way, for whatever it's worth, we're sitting here talking about them. People, since this happened, people are going to tune in to watch the show.
Yeah, they're going
to
watch the show more than
they were before. 2.5 didn't need any additional viewers, but they're going to get a bump.
They did. They got a bump.
Of course.
Yeah.
I feel for this kid. If that's really truly how he feels, then he needs help. You know, one of us has got to get in there and sit down with him and say, listen, we don't want 10 cents from you, but we got to give you some sense for the rest of your life. When the show is over, what's going to happen? You know, again,
the kid's 19 years old.
It is like, the cream of life. It is the
he's got
extra.
The golden spoon.
You know what, Scotty? It's a bonus. Oh. He can, if he wants, he can monk style walk away. He can take a hit, get sued by the show. If he really wanted to, if he felt it was a detriment to his soul, he could move to Budapest,
walk,
and get sued.
Yep.
Okay. If he wanted to.
Yep. Is that going to happen?
Showing up on that set and taking that check, and they're going to write some really awkward shit for him.
Poor kid.
Lindsay. Can I move to Lindsay for a second?
Why are you asking me, man?
You can move to Lindsay.
Lindsay Lohan in New York. Allegedly socked. Aroma. Gypsy. Beautiful girl.
My friend Eleanor White out there in New Jersey, will you please go to New York and go help Lindsay? Please. Eleanor, go help Lindsay. Oh, God.
Yeah, she's got an extra court date. Just to go back to appear on sucking some girl who wanted her purse or her man or who said she sucked in Liz and Dick. It's like
Lindsay got a man?
Huh?
Lindsay has a man now?
They were going after the guy in The Wanted. They were both like, and then he left with a third girl. He's like, fuck you both, I'm out of here. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
Nice. That was a good one. His stock went up like huge.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
9 inches. Lindsay, what's next for her?
What's the next? Lindsay will be appearing in The Arraignment.
On Court TV, Mondays at 3:00.
Starring Judge So-and-so, Prosecutor So-and-so.
Lindsay Lohan as the fucking wrecked defendant. Remember her little FU on her nails to the judge?
Mm-hmm.
You think she's going to get it? Ever? No, she's on a run. It's over. No one can control her. Anytime they try, she's going to rack up another 46 grand at Chateau Marmont. She's done. I mean, and she's, who did she get the gift from? She owed $180,000.
Charlie gave it to her.
Charlie Sheen wrote a $100,000 check to the IRS to pay some of her back taxes. To take some of the pressure off. So she wouldn't be forced to drink as much and like cover that. Her biggest, her friends were saying, and this is a report on TMZ, allegedly, 2 pints of vodka a day now she's through.
Yep.
And I drink my beer. I drink my whiskey. And a pint is an adventure. But you could have like an adventure when you wake up and kind of pass out about 2 or 3. and then wake up again at like 5 or 6 and have another adventure and have another pint. So it sounds like that's what she's doing.
I think in my entire life, I haven't had a pint of vodka. In my entire life, you've added all the vodka I've ever drank.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of vodka
myself.
As much
as the other liquors, vodka doesn't smell. So you don't reek like alcohol.
That's wonderful.
It's clearer. It's cleaner.
Well, she's,
it doesn't have as much like sugars in it.
You know, Lindsay's wearing diamonds now. By Liz Taylor.
By Liz Taylor. Diamond. By Liz Taylor.
Yes. Eleanor, go buy Lindsay some diamonds. Go buy her some white diamonds, will you? She'll be with the Kasanovs back on General Hospital in about 18 minutes. That's great.
Well, it's only going to last about another 18 minutes.
Oh.
General Hospital is...
Listen, now we're on a Lindsay, and here we go again.
Any soaps?
Do I watch any soaps? Yeah. No, no.
Oh, I watched General Hospital growing up. I watched All My Children, One Life to Live, General Hospital, and Edge of Night.
You had your stories.
I watched them every day.
I gotta see my stories.
Oh, come home, 2 Devil Dogs, 16-ounce bottle of Pepsi, Channel 7, ABC, let's go. That was it. Gotta watch my shows. That's where I met Lori Loughlin when she was doing... Edge of Night, way back when. God, what is she going to do? Is she talented? Yes. Is she absolutely
when
fucking
she can
stupid?
Show up to yes. work sober, pretty she's hot. Talented.
Yeah.
When she can show up and do her job, she's talented.
Well,
but
there's been lots of stars of NYPD Blue kind of things that have had liquor issues and stuff like that. TV. What a bear. What a fucking bear. And no, honestly, I want to like look at from Angus's point of view. Man on the Shore Forever, you're like, when are they going to fucking let me go?
But most actors
in a regular series, 2-3 years, they're like, I want to go and do my own thing and like be, you know, do my features and stuff like that. He's probably got this huge delusions of grandeur. He's the half in but, 2 and a Half Men.
But you know what? Like... Sitcom television is the icing on the cake.
Absolutely.
I mean, you've got a 5-day work week.
Professionally, not spiritually as an artist. It's the least rock bottom pablum market wrote. Hit your timing, hit your marks, get the fuck out. It's not a feature. It's not a character. It's not something you can
take. Yeah, but you work 22 episodes.
It's not. And if you're a pure artist, you would go, you know what? I've got all this money. I've got room and board taken care of for life. I can take care of my family for life.
But that's when
then
you
start
on
to
the
judge
show.
The work you're doing.
But you don't. You but don't stab got, the people in the heart that you're still doing the show with.
And on top of that, you're working 22 weeks a year, so you've got plenty of time to go on your hiatus and shoot your feature. You've got plenty of time to get together with your friends and shoot something over your winter break. Like there are, you're shooting with a sitcom. You're shooting 4 out of every 6 weeks, even before you go out on your summer hiatus. Like, you want to go make a movie? Go make a fucking movie. Be back in September to shoot.
Go make it with your own money.
Yeah.
You have the world by the balls if you get a successful TV show.
It's like it is like the statistical and financial equivalent of winning the lottery 17 times in a row. Yeah.
Hey, listen, I just went a little over a week ago. I went over Ed O'Neill's house and we were talking. And
I wish you told me you were going. I said, give him a kiss for me.
He's awesome. He and I are talking, and I said to him, I said, there's not one guy who's nicer than Ed. Ed is the most, he's a sweetheart. He's a regular guy.
I love
guy
to hear that.
Because he understands, Ed O'Neill.
Oh,
he
Ed O'Neill.
Understands
oh, no.
what it's like to be broke and not working and poor. The fact that he had married with children, which when I met him way back when, is one thing. And it made him somewhat extremely wealthy. To do it again for something that he really didn't want to do. He didn't really want to do another show because he's like, I'm doing a little thing here and I'm already wealthy. I don't need it anymore.
Right.
But you know, but he's a good enough actor to make a cut between them character-wise. I don't consider the Ed O'Neill on a Modern Family is
the same as the Ed O'Neill from Married with Children. I listen to, and I don't...
And he's done feature work too where you're like,
Dutch.
Guy.
Yeah.
Love Dutch. Yeah,
what was the one? Something Ford Crimes Fairlane. With.
What are you talking about?
Well, Dutch is funny, but Ford Fairlane, I love. He's singing Ford Fairlane. Booty time across the USA. Booty time, yeah, yeah, yeah. I do that with him, and it's hysterical. My point was is that he understands what hitting the lottery is about.
Yeah.
This kid doesn't understand what hitting the lottery is about.
No, because he's 19 years old. He's been doing this show for 9 years. Yeah. He's, you know, he's been working since he was six.
There's not one person around him that will give him a straight answer. No. Because they're all on the payroll.
Yeah.
10 minutes, maybe an hour with me and Keith.
It makes sense that this guy goes to look outside of his universe for something.
For the border. I would tell him to run.
Finish the show.
I would tell him, take your money in your bank, put it offshore Cayman Islands, go to the fucking producer and tell him, I really feel this way. Fuck you. I'm never showing up at the set again. Tell him, shave his head, fucking go, do whatever you want to do, be happy. If you don't want to do it, because my mom did that. She's like, Keith, got the audition thing. Do you want to go to the beach? Do you want to go for this movie? What do you want to do? I want to go to the beach. Okay. It was this weird forced choice of proving that I had control over. She did a couple times. One of them was The Shining. I was like, that's kind of creepy. I don't know. She said, do you want to go to the beach? Do you want to try out for The Shining? I was like, I want to go to the beach. Go to the beach. So no Shining for Keith. But I felt it was fake in my case in a weird way. She was like overproving you're free to do what you want to do. He doesn't feel free. He's locked into a contract.
For a whole whopping one fucking year, 22 weeks of work for $7.7 million. Shut up. Doesn't get it. Shut up. Just finish out your 1 year. Yeah. You got 22 weeks to go. That's it.
No. And then go to college, study microbiology.
Money isn't everything. If you really feel that way, do it now. If you're going to apologize, go back to the set, you don't want to get sued.
So you're going to finish out the year. You can't just walk away.
Charlie Sheen got sued.
Well, he made and he lost and he made and he lost. But he's Charlie Sheen. He's got a track record. Angus doesn't. Angus has this show and that's it.
Who's got the power? The producers or the talent?
Who signs the checks? Producer signed the checks.
Great. What if they're signing checks to nobody?
Oh, somebody else will take that job.
Okay.
Somebody else will take that job.
Less and less talented, less and less experienced, less and less fucking seasoned.
Not necessarily. There are plenty of probably much more talented people than anybody on television who are unemployed.
What if every actor had a moral fucking clause in their heart? And they're like, crap show, not going to do it.
And at the end of the day, you know what? Chuck Lorre Productions has three of the top-rated television shows on right now. They've got 2.5, they've got Big Bang, and they've got Mike and Molly.
I watch Big Bang. They play 4 episodes back-to-back, and I watch them all.
Yeah.
I think Big Bang Theory is, because I'm a geek. I'm a Dexter.
It is the number one comedy on television right now. The number one comedy. It's renewed after... Before their third season had finished, they got picked up for 3 more seasons by CBS.
I've never watched an episode of Mike and Maddie, but I've watched...
Mike and Molly. Molly.
But I've watched the Big Bang Theory.
I've seen the commercials for Mike and Molly.
Yeah.
It sort of looks like a 2010 version of The Honeymooners.
Kinda.
Yeah, well, that's original.
Well, there's nothing original.
Okay.
Nothing original. You know,
No regular television. I'm only up to like season 3 of Seinfeld at this point, okay?
Gold Rush. About,
you know, remaking The Honeymooners.
Unfortunately, I support all the reality TV that's killing network television scripted regular shows.
Yeah, which is killing the actor salaries and the writer's salaries and director's salaries.
It's changing. Oh, you're on TV?
Oh, you do the
TV show? Oh, you're not on radio? Because radio is really what's big. I don't know what this new TV thing is. So now when they say, oh, you're only on internet and not on TV, that's like saying, oh, it's on color? It's not in black and white? Because I'm used to seeing it in black and white.
Are you kidding? Google just built for YouTube their own studio. Not a soundstage, a studio. Like they just sank. A friend of mine just went to the opening party for it, and I think they said they spent something like $130 million. But, and I could be wrong about that. I could be wrong about the number. Nothing.
But yeah, see where the future is,
though. Pocket change for them. But yeah, no, Felicia Day just signed a deal a few months ago for her own channel producing seven different...
Think Felicia Day would do anal?
Let's call her. I think
she's
you should ask.
She's cute. She's in the quest kind of thing and
Eleanor,
runs her own show.
Her
but
me?
I think she wants to be dominated.
What's
hardcore.
Her name? The one you want
to... Felicia Day.
Okay. Oh, I like Eleanor, her. Call Felicia. I like Check her. Out, see if
Felicia.
She does anal.
You and the gypsy Roma that fucking got sucked by Lindsay Lohan.
Oh, my God. Call me. Gypsy.
Keith Coogan. At Keith Coogan on Twitter. Keith Coogan on Facebook.
No, I
just trying to get laid.
What you said is so true. Where it's going. Actually, both of you. It's going, what will change everything? We've changed it to some degree at this point. I'm going to tell you what's going to change everything. When you can sit down in your house with a little keyboard that's 5 inches by 4 inches, and you can hit a button and your TV comes on. And
it's
you can
there.
Just start going.
It's done. It's
but
done.
It's not, the masses don't have it yet. Not yet. It's still expensive. When that gets down to $300 and $400 for a 45-inch television,
this
that you
Christmas.
Can,
you can actually
no,
internet with
your
TV.
I've seen the iPad mini ad, and it's a grandma picking up the thing, and all of a sudden her grandkids on the other side, FaceTime.
Yeah, but it's...
It was one button. Boom. Oh, hey, there's my kid.
But YouTube...
They're selling a ton of those this fucking Christmas.
YouTube will explode when you can do that. Come in the house, turn on a switch, and your computer is linked to your television, and you just have a little itty-bitty keyboard thing, and you just put something in, and click, and you can watch and do whatever you want. So then YouTube will then become your television, and other things like that will become your television. You know, your show
YouTube
will become television.
YouTube is my monkey. YouTube is my mule. YouTube, throw them a bunch of fucking digital images and video, and they give it for free to all of my audience. Thousands of views.
On Amazon
Thank
right
you,
now.
YouTube.
On Amazon right now, you can buy a throw for your... A throw being this box that basically puts your computer and your TV for $214. You get a keyboard from Logitech, a wireless keyboard for $60. You're there.
So now here's what we're going to do. I'm going to buy this shit. I'm going to go out and I'm going to buy this thing for $200 and some. Then you're going to come with me to the fucking Fry's or Best Buy to get me this wireless. Then you're going to come to my house and hook this shit up. Because I have no idea how to do that, you see.
I can get you the wireless keyboard right now.
my friend Brad DeMoss working for... my friend Brad works for
Amazon.
This company that does that.
Amazon's a pain in the ass.
And he goes to Zemeckis, Spielberg, Turner houses and hooks up the whole one button push and everything comes on and
That'd
lights
be great.
And this integration with, you know, Wi-Fi and hi-fi and high def and all and they're just like, oh, I don't know all the things. These guys make the movies to the specs that we're used to seeing, yet they need a tech guy to come and hook up their house. It's kind of funny. He makes $57,000 a year. The bastard. Why do that? No, you can. You can, and it's a rigmarole, and you have to have some tech knowledge. When it's a boom, push button, then the TV's going away. My prediction, 2 to 3 years, no more network TV, no more cable. It's all going to be internet. And that's why SAG pushed so hard for the new contracts. Because when Comcast or whoever sells you the stuff through the internet, it falls under the internet contract, which is we can pay you nothing.
You're right.
You can hire non-union work.
That's terrific.
Yeah. And I think the cable... Regular TV, people $80 a month for this shit? We had a national election, $2 billion spent on it, 300 million people in the country. That's $7.35 per person, yet people are paying $80 a month for cable.
I wish I paid $80 a month for my cable, my satellite.
I don't pay that much. I don't have cable.
I do.
I watch everything
on
the internet.
No, they pay more for their entertainment than they will for their leadership. I'm slurring now because I'm like third Budweiser. But no, they will. They will pay more. I like your shirt, by the way.
But that's not really true because even though you're saying $7 a person and whatever, we pay through the taxes that we pay. We pay our government. would not necessarily call them leaders. No, they're just our government.
Government provides great protection on the borders and great protection in the sky so that nobody could fly a plane and attack anything. Your government provides great protection for all of our embassies so that they won't be attacked. There's not just four guys sitting there when like 200 guys come on them with rocket missiles. Bullshit. Your government takes it, spends it. I'm gonna fucking vote right next time. I'm looking at this liberal bullshit, and I've been a fucking lefty liberal Democrat.
We just finished this election a month ago.
Yeah.
And you're already a 2016.
Yeah, and I'm a fucking Heritage Foundation supporter.
So you ready? Let's call it now. This is we got 4.5 minutes to go left of the show.
It's
going to
go so far right.
You ready?
Yeah.
Here's your finale.
Okay.
It's Jeb Bush against Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Whoa!
There's your finalists. Jeb Bush against Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Hillary ain't running.
It's Jeb Bush against Hillary Rodham Clinton. No.
Villaraigosa or Castro? The mayor of San Antonio or the mayor of Los Angeles?
They're not strong enough.
Villaraigosa's got too many skeletons in the closet. Castro's strong enough. Castro's got the same thing that Los Angeles have, which is 43% Latino population. Castro has in San Antonio. And that's the Texas is shifting because of the new population. And they will have great power in the next election. I think we've seen white, wasp, a Catholic, but we shot him in Dealey Plaza. Oh, we got a Catholic president. Great, we kill him. Shoot him in the head. White, Obama. Obama cried.
So why
tears.
Have a woman?
Oh my God. We've solved years, hundreds of years of slavery and the oh my God, and Civil Rights Act. Fuck that. We have a black president. Oh my God. You know what's next? Latino.
Woman.
I say the Jewish president. And he's got a first mom instead of her first wife. Like, hello, honey. You didn't vote on that bill, right?
Have you heard the joke? First Jewish president's getting sworn in. You know, he's there standing on the steps getting sworn in. His mother down in the gallery nudges the guy standing next to her. See the guy getting sworn in? That's my son. His brother's a doctor.
Okay, I love it. I'm gonna tell you. That is great.
Oh shit.
Alright, that's great.
You like that one, Scott?
That's awesome.
Okay, that's great.
Thank you, Gabe,
for putting it all in perspective.
Oh, no, wow. I think we've had the African American president now, and I think the Republicans are still going to be bleeding in four more years, and they're going to come up with Jeb Bush because they have to go back to the well.
Another African American president couldn't come along. Like,
Marion Barry is busy.
Yeah, but that's really fucking sad, Scott.
It is
that we went token.
No, I'm not saying token. Done. I'm just saying there's not anybody as strong as he is right now. I think Hillary is a much stronger candidate.
Just don't forget the Benghazi attack was a false flag attack so that we could have Rice indicted, so that we could have Kerry take Rice's spot, so that we could have Kerry vacate his Senate seat, so that we could have Scott Brown take over Kerry's Senate seat. It's all a shenanigans. Don't watch Fox News. But if you do, please watch a half an hour of MSNBC to balance it out.
No, God.
Let me ask you this, Scott. You think she's Hillary Clinton? Do you think she thinks she's a great candidate, or you think she'd be a great president?
I think both.
Because they're two very different jobs.
Listen, she sat in that chair already sitting next to Bill for fucking 8 years
anyway.
She'd
be an awful president. Siri would be like, dude, why are you bombing us? And Hillary would be like, you know what you did.
Oh, yeah. You bitch. Bend over.
We'll see.
Why not? France has had, you know, there's several countries in Europe who have already had
Merkel,
women.
Germany?
Yeah. Why not?
They even have a lesbian president in Switzerland.
That would be interesting.
Hey, I would love to see a woman president, but I got to be honest, Hillary Clinton scares me. Yeah. I don't want her in the Oval Office.
Why does she scare you?
She's just nuts,
she
man.
She just disapproves.
She's
just like, I do not approve whatever you think you're doing right now. I'm not.
That's fine.
Secretary of State. Secretary of State, first lady for two terms. She knows more about The Office than probably anybody that's going to run in the next 10 years, 12
Whitewater, years. Whitewater, Monica Lewinsky. Thank you. Good night. This is Keith Coogan, Gabriel Romero, Scotty Schwartz, our special guest. Thanks, Scott, for coming
Wait,
down.
My friend is on hold. She's calling. She's not getting in. This sucks.
There's no, nothing
that's
going
it.
On. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We
Thank
love you.
Thank you, everybody. Eleanor, love you. You're awesome. Bye.